yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Ross Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is Daddy Soda time, and we are just 1 week away from the 2018 NFL Draft, and we've got our last positional breakdown. We're talking defensive backs with a guy that's the best in the business. I love that he's starting to get the recognition he deserves, Fran Duffy, the video scouting guru for the Philadelphia Eagles. Check him out on Twitter like I do, at FDuffy3. I'm just a former NFL offensive lineman, bunch of teams over 7 years. You can check me out on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. Certainly any of our shows you can listen to over at RossTucker.com, however you're listening to this one. And you can follow them all on Twitter, at RTF Podcast is home base, if you will. We're presented for the last time, at least for right now, by the Scouting Academy. They've been with us for a bunch of episodes. We love the Scouting Academy. If you love the draft, if you love learning about players, how to evaluate players, who better to do it than guys like Mike March, Jerry Angelo, Louis Riddick? There's nothing else like this. It's a tremendous idea created by Dan Hatman. He's a former scout for the Jets, Giants, and Eagles. We love it. They've already served over 500 students. They have this thing down pat. So no matter what it is your interest level is, whether you're looking for a job, you might have an interest in a job, or you just want to learn more about how to evaluate players, go to RossTucker.com, click on the Scouting Academy logo so that when you go over to the website, if you decide to register for the summer, you get $50 off. What a great thing to register for over the summer. What a great class, by the way. So anyway, enough said. Scouting Academy over at RossTucker.com. Fran, I feel like we got to hustle today, man, given the fact that we've got both safeties and corners. I'll start with you today with the corners and just kind of your feelings overall about the corner group.
Well, I think when you look at this group, Ross, overall, really the beauty is going to be the eye in the beholder, especially when you get to those outside guys. You know, there's a lot of really talented players in this class. You talk about a Denzel Ward and a Carlton Davis and Josh Jackson and Mike Hughes and Dante Jackson, Jair Alexander. All those guys are really talented. Each of them has a very specific skill set. And with that skill set, I think there are some key flaws with each. And so some teams are going to view that order one way, and then you might ask another team, and the order is going to be completely flipped. That's how it is with this position more often than not. But I think especially this year with the top guys, I think there's a lot of really intriguing skill sets on the outside. But inside, in the slot, it is an outstanding group. It's really deep. It's really talented. I think that if you need a slot corner, there are options in round one. There are options in round seven, guys that have the ability to come in and make an impact within the first 3 years.
That's kind of strange to me because I feel like it used to be flipped, and I feel like slot corners, nickel corners used to almost be hard to find, and that college wasn't producing a whole lot of them, because usually if you were a really good corner in college, you just stayed outside, and the slot guy was like your third guy in college and usually not really up to snuff.
Yeah, and it's interesting how that happens, right? Because now you're seeing a lot of these top corners. You know, I know Jair Alexander did it. I know that Mike Hughes did it. I know Josh Jackson did it on third down. Dante Jackson did it. Nick Nelson did it. Duke Dawson, MJ Stewart did it. You know, a lot of these guys traveled into the slot, maybe not on every third down, maybe not on every nickel and dime sub package, but you did see plenty of reps with it, and you got to see guys do it at a relatively high level. So in this class especially, I think that there's a lot of really interesting options on the inside.
All right, what about the safety group overall?
I would say it's a good group, not a great group, but it's a good group. There are a lot of really interesting players, and really the way that you kind of can look at safeties, and you know, everybody before used to be free safety, strong safety, right? Well, we all know that those terms don't necessarily mean a whole lot in terms of the entire league from a league-wide view, but you could still look at it in really, I would say, three categories, right? There's your guy that you want playing deep, and you could say it's free safety, strong safety, whatever. a guy that you want playing closer to the line of scrimmage, and that would be man coverage over the tight end. You still have to be able to play it underneath zone coverage. And then guys that can play over the slot, and not necessarily against slot receivers, but against detached tight ends and satellite running backs and those guys that kind of move around. So guys that have that experience playing on an island or playing in man coverage. And in all three of those categories in this class, I think there are some interesting players and guys that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, and plus there's some guys, like maybe we'll get into here, that, you know, there's some debate over what position they're really going to play. It's Daddy Soda time.
Daddy Sodas.
So this will be fun, Fran. We'll get your favorite to watch, your underrated. We'll get all your different categories for both corners and safeties, since we're going to have a mock draft next week. Let's start with your favorite corner to watch on film.
Yeah, I'm going to put Minka Fitzpatrick still with the corner group. I've stayed pretty steadfast with that over the course of the process. And look, Minka Fitzpatrick would be drafted as a safety for a lot of teams. I still think, you know, if I'm looking at him, especially for some of these teams that like those bigger corners and don't mind a guy that might not be an A-plus athlete on the outside, I think Fitzpatrick has the ability to do that. You still need to worry about his ball skills, but for the other guy that most consider to be the number one corner, Denzel Ward, his number one concern is ball skills. So I'm not going to knock Minka Fitzpatrick too much on it. I do think, though, when you have a player that can line up anywhere in the secondary and be effective for you, I think that that serves a lot of value. And Fitzpatrick is that. He's incredibly smart. He's got very good instincts both to play inside and outside. He's done everything for Nick Saban. He's great in zone coverage. He's got man coverage instincts as well. He's a great run defender. He's an outstanding blitzer when he lines up inside or close to the line of scrimmage. I just think that this kid is the total package. So I look at Minka Fitzpatrick at corner, and I say he's my favorite to watch in this class.
What about at the safety spot?
Well, if Minka is going to be the corner, you have to say Derwin James at safety. And this kid, he's just a freak show when it's all said and done. I mean, a guy that is that big, that moves the way that he does, it's not common. He's an explosive, violent tackler. And that's one of the things that I love most about Derwin James, just how he is at the point of contact. You know, there are going to be some questions about his ability to play in the deep part of the field. And there weren't many cases of it this year, but there were a couple cases where you saw him a little bit slow to trigger. You saw him a little bit slow, where the angle that he took to the football wasn't ideal. And I can remember the game against NC State where he was a big part of a long touchdown that they gave up on the back end because he took a slower angle to the football, and then he let the guy cross his face and cut back against the grain and run away for a touchdown. I think that Derwin James still has a little bit of room to grow there on the back end, but if you need a quote-unquote strong safety type, a guy to come down, play the box, play over the tight end, play over running backs, even against some slot receivers, some bigger slot receivers, I think Derwin James is your guy, and I love everything that he brings to the table, from the violence, the urgency, the competitiveness, the instincts in man coverage. He's got good ball skills as well. I really, really like Derwin James.
So is he a potential liability as a middle of the field safety or on the back end?
Yeah, I think he's got the physical tools to do it. It's just because, and that's the thing, is it when you are used all over the field, it's kind of like a double-edged sword, right? Because, yeah, you show off that versatility. It was the same thing with, like, Miles Jack coming out, and we talk about it a little bit with Minka as well. When you are used all over the field and you wear a lot of hats for an offense or a defense, that means that you've got limited reps at all those different positions. So Derwin James hasn't spent a lot of time on the back end as a post player, as a free safety. So when he is put in those situations, there are times where it's not great. And that's the thing, is with more reps, could it be, you know, could he get to where he needs to be? Absolutely. But that's the number one question with him. But if you view him as a guy, let's say you play a scheme similar to what Seattle plays, where it's a very defined role for free safety, strong safety, you want him to play strong safety. There's no transition needed. He can come in and play that right now. But if you are going to rely on him to play deep more often than not, I think there's a little bit of transition that's going to be needed. There may be a little bit of growing pains. It may take a couple months. It may take a training camp, or it may take some time into the season. But regardless, I think he's the best safety, pure safety in this class.
Let's get to some guys. I always like this category, underrated by the media. We'll start at corner.
Well, Ross, going into the combine this year, I watched every underclassman sans one. And that one underclassman that was at the combine that I did not watch was DJ Reed, the corner from Kansas State. And so afterwards, you start to see, and they had a very early pro day at Kansas State, and you saw some of the teams and some of the people, some of the decision makers that were at that pro day. And I said, man, if Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn and John Robinson, and you have multiple GMs and stuff out of his pro day, I got to make sure I watch this kid. And I was not disappointed. And DJ Reed from Kansas State just blew me away with what I saw from him on film. Again, not a guy that I think is going to be drafted in the first 60, 75 picks. But I think when you look at DJ Reed, you see a guy, he's 5'8", he's 188 pounds. So he's a little bit undersized, but this kid is tough. He's got outstanding ball skills. He's extremely instinctive. I love the way he defends the run. There's going to be questions about his overall athleticism. I think he's probably would be considered an above-average athlete. He ran 4.51, so he's not going to be viewed, especially at under 5'9", as an outside corner. But I think he's probably the best pure slot corner in this draft. And if you're a team that plays a lot of sub package, which 99% of the teams do in this league, you play a lot of sub, your slot corner is going to be on the field often, and I think DJ Reed can come in and play that role right away. I'm a big, big fan of the way he plays the game. He's been really productive. He's been a returner as well. DJ Reed, to me, is one of the more underrated players in the secondary in this draft.
How about at safety?
At safety, this isn't just the media, I think, and he's starting to get a little bit buzzed now, but the NFL, because this kid wasn't even invited to the combine, and that's Tarvarius Moore from Southern Miss. He's under 6'1". He's just under 200 pounds, but he is an outstanding athlete, and that's really where he kind of got onto the national radar, was with an outstanding pro day. So you see these guys that put up the great pro day numbers, and you say, all right, well, do you back it up on the field? Those numbers show up on the field for Tarvarius Moore. He's got outstanding range. He's a great athlete. He's got outstanding ball skills, and he's tough. He comes downhill. He runs the alley at a really high level. I really like him up against the run as well. The question with him, and it's just like kind of with Derwin James, on the back end, I think there are times where he's a little bit slow to trigger. He's a little bit slow to key and diagnose. Now, we're talking about a one-year starter. He only started 1 year for Southern Miss, a junior college transfer, his first year in 2016. He played every game and was productive, but he was not a full-time starter. So this was his first year really kind of on the national radar, and I think that played a part as to why he wasn't invited to the combine, because physically this kid's got all the tools to be an outstanding player. And honestly, I think he's going to be a day two pick when it's all said and done. It would shock me if he was not a second or third round pick, unless there's something there that I'm not seeing away from the field. This guy's got all the physical tools to succeed in the NFL level. Really, it comes down to his experience or lack of it, and then therefore the instincts and the play recognition and the snap anticipation and the ability to key and diagnose. Those are the questions, and that is an important part of the safety position. So that's going to be the big question with him moving forward. But physically, the kid's got it all.
Let's get to some guys that you like, but there's something about them that scares you a little bit.
Yeah, one big name at the cornerback spot coming into the draft or coming into this season in 2017, I would say was Tarvarius.
Tavares McFadden?
Tavares McFadden.
That's got to be the first time we went from Tarvarius to Tarvarius.
Exactly. So Tarvarius McFadden from Florida State, he's got outstanding size. And remember, that sophomore season in 2016, his production was ridiculous. I think he had 8 interceptions that year. It was his first year as a starter. So everybody thought, hey, this kid's he's 6'2". He's over 200 pounds. You have all that production. He was first-team all-conference. He led the country with picks. He was a finalist for the Nagurski Award. He was a 5-star recruit. This guy's going to be like Jalen Ramsey. The problem is when you turn on the film, he does not have great speed, and that showed up the combine. He ran 4.67 at the combine, which is not ideal for the cornerback spot. His production fell really, really poorly this past year. He did not have a pick this year, so after leading the country with 8 in 2016 to not record 1 in 2017, I think raised some eyebrows to people. Now you could say, oh yeah, teams are staying away from him and that. The kid's still, at the end of the day, he's got outstanding ball skills. He's got outstanding length. So there's a lot to like. The question will be that long speed. Does he have the ability to recover once he's initially beaten at the line of scrimmage. He gave up a lot of big plays in 2016. So while he had all those picks, he also gave up a lot. Now, he did cut down on some of those big plays this year, but that's going to be the big question, is that long speed. And that'll be the thing, I think, that keeps him from being drafted in the first couple rounds. Reminds me a lot of Rasul Douglas coming out of West Virginia. Rasul was a third-round pick for the Eagles this past year. Did get a couple starts for the team, you know, because of injury, but I think that they share a lot of common traits. And McFadden, to me, I think it's, at the end of the day, he's still going to be a third- or fourth-round pick, but the question will be his long speed in the NFL.
How about a guy at safety that scares you?
That would be Armani Watts from Texas A&M. And I do like Armani Watts. I think if you're looking for a pure free safety, I think he's got the ability to do it. I like his ability to finish at the catch point. He's got sideline to sideline range. I know his combine workout wasn't all that impressive, especially for a guy who's 5'10 and a half and 202 pounds. That's like right at the benchmark, at the floor of what you'd want in terms of a size respect at the safety spot for a starter. But on film, you see a guy who's really aggressive and you see a good athlete. The number one thing that is going to be the big question with Armani Watts is his ability to tackle and be able to consistently get his man to the ground. Because even as a free safety, you have to be able to run the alley, come from distance, and finish one-on-one in the hole as a tackler. Because, again, that's the guy that's really the last line of defense. And Armani Watts, there were a lot of missed tackles with him over the last couple of years. So, that to me, that's the number one question for him moving forward.
Okay, and let's get to the safest player, a guy that maybe doesn't have quite the upside of some of these other guys, but a high floor.
So I've talked a lot about MJ Stewart over the course of the last year or so, and I'm a big, big fan of him. He's a corner from North Carolina. He's 5'11". He's 200 pounds. He's one of those players, Ross, that, yeah, on the outside, in base defense, he was a starter at corner, but when they went into nickel, he slid inside, and he was really, really good in that role. He's really competitive. He's got outstanding instincts in man coverage, the ability to hip pocket with the receiver. So when he's running with a receiver in the vertical area or the intermediate area of the field, and that guy breaks off his route, he breaks it off instantly and is still hip to hip with that corner. And I think that, or with that receiver, MJ Stewart is one of the best at that in this class. He was really productive over the course of his career. 47 disruptions on the ball, Ross, in coverage, 6 picks and 41 pass breakups over the course of his career. He could come down and defend the run. Long speed is a question. He ran in the mid 4.5s at the combine. The athletic upside is the question, but long speed, you're not necessarily worried about in the slot. It's more about the instincts and the toughness. MJ Stewart has that to a T. So I really, really like MJ Stewart. I think he's a really safe bet to come in and play the slot at a high level in the NFL.
What about the safest guy at safety?
Yeah, for me, that would be Justin Reed. And I don't know that Justin Reed is going to be like this perennial Pro Bowl safety at the next level. I don't know that we're going to be talking about him in the same vein as like an Earl Thomas type player. But I think when you look at him, he's got all the tools to be a really nice, solid piece in the secondary. He obviously was very versatile for Stanford, played a lot of different positions. We talked about that with Derwin James. And to a certain extent, I think you see the same thing with Justin Reed. He played down in the box. He played outside at corner. He played in the slot. He played free safety. He played strong safety, single high, two high. Was used in so many different ways. And that versatility will serve him well. He's incredibly smart. You can see the way that he plays the game, that he approaches it from an intellectual standpoint. He's got really good ball skills to finish at the catch point as well. I'd like to see him be a little bit more forceful as a tackler, and like we've talked about some of these other guys, the angles from the back end I think can be a little bit better, but again, I think that can get better with reps. But I think overall, for a high floor safety, I think Justin Reed, you could do, I think he's probably got the highest floor of the safeties in this class.
Let's get to safest player. I'm sorry, let's get to scheme specific. We just did safest. Scheme specific, a guy that you really feel like needs to have a specific role.
Yeah, this is a player that I'm a big fan of, and that's Carlton Davis from Auburn. He's 6'1", he's 206 pounds, he's got almost 33-inch arms, he's got an incredible wingspan, was a 3-year starter, first flashed to me as a true freshman with the Tigers because of his size and speed. He reminds me in a lot of ways of Xavier Rhodes, and Xavier Rhodes was a first-round pick. Remains to be seen if Carlton Davis will be drafted that high, but it would not shock me at all if his name got called on the first day, because, you know, he's got that length, He does have pretty good speed for a guy that big. He ran in the low 4.5s, which isn't great, but for a guy that big, that's plenty fast enough, and he's really, really physical, really competitive. He's outstanding in press coverage. He's a really good run defender. The short area quickness is one question I do have. We talked about that with MJ Stewart, you know, that ability to kind of mirror a route at the top and stay in a guy's hip pocket. That's one question I do have about Carlton Davis, but I'll tell you what, man, the kid brings all the physical traits to be a really good shutdown press corner. So, you know, if you're a team like Seattle and San Francisco and the L.A. Chargers and Atlanta Falcons, you know, he fits that scheme, that from that Pete Carroll tree to a T. It would be really, really interesting to see how quickly he would start if he went to one of those teams.
Any other corners?
At corner, Josh Jackson, I think you could probably throw in there as well. To me, I think he's so good in zone coverage. So if he went to like a zone-heavy team, obviously he's going to have to play man at some point. But he's so good at being able to read route breaks and jump throws on the outside as a zone corner. I think Josh Jackson, there are a lot of similarities, honestly, to Josh Norman with the Washington Redskins. Marcus Peters type I've compared him to in the past as well. I think Marcus Peters probably offered a little bit more twitch in man, but Josh Jackson, I'll tell you what, man, his ball skills are outstanding. He's got the ability to play at any kind of zone coverage at the next level.
Okay, how about a safety scheme specific? I feel like every year there's probably a lot of guys that could fit this category.
Oh, yeah.
As, you know, the guy's really just a box guy, or maybe the guy's really just a back-end guy. Who do you have?
Yep. To me, that would be the box guy would be Kaiser White. And there are some people that I think are still viewing him as a potential linebacker convert, much like what we've seen with like Mark Barron and Deion Buchanan. Kaiser White, 6'2". He's not just under 220 pounds. He's a really good run defender. He played basically as an extra linebacker close to the line of scrimmage for West Virginia. He was a big nickel player in that scheme. It's a 3-3 stack. So he lined up basically as a big nickel. Really, really tough against the run. He could play in man coverage against those slot receivers in the Big 12. He's not going to be that guy at the next level, but he showed the ability to play in man. So if you want to use him against a tight end or running back, he can definitely do that. Again, reps on the back end as a post player, that's a big question mark. So if you need him to play close to the line of scrimmage, he can definitely do that. I think he'd be an outstanding special teamer as well. The question will be his ability to play deep. And so that's why I think it'll be a very scheme-specific location for him.
Okay, let's get to your day three gems. I love your day three gems. We'll start at the corner position. A guy that's going to go on Saturday, you think, but there's still something about him that you really like.
Yeah, Parry Nickerson from Tulane is incredibly undersized. He's 5'10". He's only 182 pounds. He's rail thin. He's got really, really short arms. But this kid can fly, number one. He's 4'3". He's got 4.32 in the 40-yard dash. But more importantly, he's got some of the best ball skills in this draft. He was outstanding at the catch point. 47 ball disruption over the course of his career. So a combination of picks and pass breakups, 16 interceptions, Ross, as a four-year starter, 31 pass breakups in coverage. He could play inside. He could play outside. I think he probably fits better as a pure nickel guy, especially at his size. I do like his toughness. He needs to get a little bit better as a tackler. You worry about him getting off blocks at that size as well, but it's not for a lack of effort. He does compete at a high level at the point of contact, but with those ball skills and those instincts, I think he's got the ability to come in and make an impact. I like Parry Nickerson a lot. And then from the safety spot as a day three gem, I'm going to go with Rashawn Golden from Tennessee. He's getting some love as a day two guy, and it wouldn't shock me at all if he did go that high. I like the kid on film. At the end of the day, he was a slot corner for Tennessee over the course of his career as a two-year starter for them. At just under 6'1", 197 pounds, his athletic profile is not great, but not only just from the combine, but also on film. You can see he's not going to be a guy that you're going to put on some of these dynamic slot receivers. He's not going to go and line up against Emmanuel Sanders in the slot or Antonio Brown in the slot at the NFL level. That's just not his skill set, but he could be a big nickel kind of player. He's going to have to make that transition to free safety. I talked to him at the combine, and he said that he had practiced there, but he was not used there often in games. So if you're looking for a big third safety, a big nickel type player, Rashawn Golden can serve that role. It's a matter of if that's how you view him, he's probably not going to go but in the first three rounds. And I think that he'll be a nice player if he's used that way on day three.
Okay, let's get to the three for one, which is three guys you want to talk about, something about them. We didn't hit them in any other categories. We'll start with 3-for-1 at the cornerback spot.
Yeah, the one guy, we brought him up earlier, and that, to me, he's probably that if you don't like Micah Fitzpatrick at corner, let's say you kind of throw him to the side and you think he's a safety, the number one corner then would be Denzel Ward. And he's 5'11", he's 183 pounds from Ohio State. He's only a one-year starter. He's an outstanding athlete at the cornerback spot, and that's really kind of where he kind of can hang his hat on are his movement skills. The question with Denzel Ward is going to be his ability to find the ball late downfield. Can he get his head around and find it? He's got the speed to be able to stay in phase, but when he does get beaten and he is out of phase, meaning that he's got his eyes on the receiver, trying to get in, he's in catch-up mode, trying to find his man and get back in position, can he turn his head and find the ball late? That's going to be the big question for Denzel Ward. But speed, quickness, that's all there. I like the way the kid competes. He'll come down and lay a big hit. We've all seen that ridiculous targeting penalty where he got thrown out of the Maryland game. It was a perfectly clean hit, a really physical play. And we've seen it. That kind of shows up. You see that competitiveness, that physicality from him. I like Denzel Ward a lot. Next would be Jair Alexander at corner. This is a kid I think that is one of the best pure corners in the draft. I like his athleticism. He's got really good top-end speed as well. Unlike Denzel Ward, I really like his ball skills. The question with me, unlike Denzel Ward, the defending against the run is not Jair's cup of tea. He's not a guy that's going to come downhill and play at the point of attack at a really high level. If you don't mind that from your corner, then you're okay with it. For some people, that you know, that's a little bit of a turnoff. So you look at Jair Alexander. If you're looking for a pure cover corner, he's got the ability to do that both inside and outside. He did it at Louisville to play in the slot as well. So I think he's got great versatility to be able to do that. And then lastly, Mike Hughes, who I think, if you kind of take some of the strengths from Denzel Ward and some of the strengths from Jair Alexander, we just talked about, and you mesh them together, I think you get a lot of Mike Hughes. Now, Mike Hughes does not have the top-end speed that those guys have, and that's the big question with him is can he run vertically with receivers at the NFL level? But I love the way this guy competes. He's a really good athlete outside of the long speed. Quickness is not an issue for him. The ability to stay in a receiver's hip pocket. I really like his ball skills as well. He can get a little bit better at press coverage. He's only a one-year starter, so there's going to be questions there in terms of his experience level. But this kid can return kicks as well. I really, really like Mike Hughes and what he brings. I think he's got that inside-outside versatility as well at the corner spot.
All right, and then let's get to 3-for-1 at the safety spot.
So Ronnie Harrison, we haven't talked about yet, from Alabama, and he's a player that I'm a big fan of as well. He's 6'2", he's 207 pounds. I love his aggressiveness. I think that he's got the ability to come downhill and defend the run at a high level. I think he could play too high as well in the back end. I'd be a little bit worried about him as a single high player, as a post player. But overall, I think that this kid brings almost the total package because he's got the ability to play man coverage against backs and tight ends. He doesn't miss tackles, Ross. But his tackling technique at Alabama, at times he was a little bit wild. He'd kind of go for the big hit instead of, trying to wrap up and bring his feet and see what he hits and keep his eyes up. There are times where he's kind of going for the big hit. Didn't miss often, but that was an issue for him. That's not always going to fly at the next level. Overall, though, I really, really like Ronnie Harrison and what he brings to the field. Next will be Jesse Bates. And I'll tell you, if I had to list a list of guys that, that could be surprise first-round picks, Jesse Bates would probably be on that list. He's 6'1", he's 200 pounds, he's a pure center fielder, free safety type player. He's got a baseball background. That shows up on film, his ability to track the ball in the deep part of the field. I really like his instincts in coverage. He's got good length. I like him as a post player. I'd like to see him get a little bit better as a tackler. Only a redshirt sophomore, very young. He's going to be a 21-year-old rookie, but a guy that I'm excited about what his ceiling could be moving forward down the line. And then the last guy will be Deshaun Elliott from Texas. And I watched Deshaun Elliott back in the fall. He's a junior who declared early for this draft. I really like his physicality, and he's one of the best tacklers in the safety spot in this class. He's got a really good frame on him. The top-end athleticism is a little bit of a question. He's not going to be a guy that's viewed as a pure athlete on the back end, but if you're looking for that strong safety type, the guy to come down and play in the box and play against the run, I think he's got the ability to do that. He can finish at the catch point. I do like his ball skills, but that's going to be the big question is he athletic enough to be a quality starter on the back end? But I like Deshaun Elliott's physicality and his ability to come downhill and defend the run.
Two other things that I wanted to mention, they both actually have to do with Alabama guys, Fran. One is, why do you think like Mike Mayock has Minkah Fitzpatrick listed as a safety and not a corner.
Well, I don't want to speak for Mike too, but I think you very easily could make the argument that he's a safety because that's what he was used at. He didn't get a ton of reps on the outside of corner, so you're talking about more of a projection there. To me, so that's why I don't really worry about if people have him listed at corner or safety because I could see the argument either way. Especially if you look, the big thing about corner is that he was not really asked to defend those guys on those top end SEC wideouts. On the outside, on his own, on an island. That wasn't what he was asked to do. I think he still has the ability to do it. I'm not going to say that he's Jalen Ramsey, but I think he's got the ability to do it. And those corners, they're not easy to find. So a guy with his size and his ability to play in man coverage, that's why I'm still listing him at corner, but I don't fault anyone for listing him at safety.
And then the other thing, Fran, is, and you touched on this earlier when we were talking about, the safety from Southern Miss, Tarvarius Moore. You said, you wouldn't be surprised if he goes on day two unless there's something in his background that we don't know about. I feel like we need to at least touch on that today, given what happened with Reuben Foster. And if you remember, I tweeted this, Fran, at Ross Tucker NFL, how many fan bases were so upset, including, by the way, Eagles fans, were so upset when their team did not draft Reuben Foster a year ago, and there had been some medical red flags with Reuben Foster. There had been some character concerns with Reuben Foster. And here we are, not even a full year into his pro career, and both of those have reared their ugly head. And I just want to point that out because things are going to happen during the draft where a guy is slipping or going lower, and people are going to be like, this is crazy. Take him. What's going on? Usually, not always. I mean, sometimes there's a guy like Randy Moss, and although those concerns came back again in terms of character, but he obviously was worth it. But there's always going to be those guys, and it's usually medical or character or, in Reuben Foster's case, both.
Yeah, and that's it's the part of the process that everybody on the outside, we're not privy. We get little bits and pieces here and there. Obviously the Reuben Foster thing at the combine last year, that was public knowledge. Everybody knew about it. When a guy gets arrested and that's out in public knowledge, not every arrest becomes public knowledge. Not every issue with police or every issue with character becomes public knowledge. Not every injury even becomes public knowledge. And that's why the NFL teams, they've got the upper hand. They have all of this information. That's honestly, Ross, it's the thing of the draft process that I think it's just so, and we said this before on the show, it's so undersold. Like it's an interview process. Like this whole, all of the last year, the last calendar year, it's an interview process. And it's not just picking players in Madden where you're going just off the skill rating or, fantasy football where you're going off the numbers. There are people here that are being selected as well. So, just like if you're interviewing for a sales job and two guys go in and one guy's got a better resume, but the other guy just wowed better in the interview, there are oftentimes you're going to see the guy that was better in person in the interview than the guy who had the better resume that gets the job. That's just a way of life, and it works that way here as well. And that's why very often you're going to hear people talk about character and football character and competitive toughness and all the mental traits. All that stuff plays a huge part in where a guy's selected and ultimately, honestly, how a guy succeeds in the NFL level. If the guy doesn't have the drive and the toughness and the work ethic and all that stuff, you need to have that at the NFL level to succeed. You look at all the best players, who are the best players at every position. There are all these stories, all these features done on those guys and all the hard work. You think of J.J. Watt on Hard Knocks working out in the dark, right? Like all that stuff. Like there's stuff that doesn't happen when the cameras are on. You have to have that if you're going to succeed in the NFL. It doesn't happen by accident. You got to see it firsthand in NFL locker rooms. It doesn't happen by accident. Greatness isn't something that just gets stumbled upon. Those guys all have to work at it. And if they don't have faith that you're going to work at it, they're not going to give you all that money.
Yep, I think that's very well said, Fran. And I always tell people the best players I ever played with, they loved practice. They loved watching film. They were obsessed with the process of getting as prepared as possible for the game on Sunday. That'll do it, by the way, for this week's College Draft Podcast. What an awesome show. Both corners and safeties. Make sure you're checking out Fran on Twitter at FDuffy3. That's where you can get the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, Journey to the Draft. He'll post that stuff. Certainly, I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. I mentioned that. And we've got all the different shows for you. Should be a busy, fun week here with the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, even money on the gambling side. We've got the number one mock drafter, Joe Marino. He's coming on the Fantasy Feast, so you're going to want to check out that and hear what his secret might be. A lot of good stuff this week, including Fran here on today's college draft. But for right now, the keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
What's it like for you watching games of your son coaching?
Agonizing.
It's a family affair on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast.
You know, I didn't know there was actual work here.
Recent guests include Rich Eisen, John Harbaugh, Judge Judy, and John Madden.
I thought one of the greatest jobs in coaching in the NFL was Jim's first year with the 49ers.
Exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet. Get episodes every Tuesday on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts.
Great time to be a Wolverine.